time? Really?
You're a Christian. You're on 24/7.
These aren't Energizers, though. These are the yellow label batteries. Yeah. Good to see you. Thank you for your prayers and support, and just thank you for being a big part of my life. And I call you guys my family. I mean, you're just not a building on the corner. You're the church, and you're my family. And I just have been so encouraged by the love that you guys. Wait. The love that you guys have had for me ever since I came. I was sitting in the back there just kind of reflecting on when I first came to church here, and I sat in the back there, and then I ended up being in the front. You know, I just fell in love with the Lord here. And I think where it really started for me was at Caring Ministries. They had that Most Excellent Way meeting, and when I went there, there was people there that knew me, because I would ride my bicycle all night up and down from Golden Hills to East San Diego, and because I was all messed up on crystal meth. So they knew me as the guy that rode his bike all night. And my bike had no brakes because I didn't want to stop. So I just... And then one day I got hit by a car because I couldn't stop. And my leg got cut open from the knee all the way up to the inner thigh and came inches from the main artery. And that happened because coming home from Roosevelt Junior High School, last day of school... unfortunately, I had summer school, and then I got hit by the car coming down that hill there near the zoo. And there was nowhere for me to turn, and there was nowhere for me to stop. I couldn't stop because I didn't have any brakes. I was going so fast that I just couldn't stop, and the car got me. And I flipped, and when I landed, my leg was just wide open. And, you know, the hospital said, yeah, you came inches from the main artery. And because the ambulance wasn't showing up, they picked me up and put me in one of the mom's cars and took me over here to the hospital. And it was pretty, it was just a big cut. You know, thank God. It was, they just said, you have a big cut. And I was like, wow. When I saw it, I was like, oh, I cannot go home with this one. So, thank God for that mom. There's a guy had been jogging, and he was the one that picked me up and put me in the back of the car, you know. So, and thank God that mom stopped and did that for me. And she saved, you know, she helped me out a lot. And so, I've been through a lot in my life. And as I said, when I came here, you know, I experienced a lot of love from everybody. And though faces have obviously changed and our waistlines have gotten a little bit bigger, and I still experience the same love. And the other night at the pastors and elders meeting, Pastor Stevie just kept praying for us to grow. And I was looking at my belly thinking, God's not hearing you right, because I know you mean not that kind of growth. But anyways, actually, he shut the lights off towards the end of that meeting. And I literally got whiplash, because I just got off the plane last Thursday, and I was just like, my head just kept going all over the place. And I hurt my neck. I kept falling asleep, you know. And then when they said amen, I woke up and I said, yeah, amen. Let's go. So, I'm so thankful for you guys. And as Pastor Steve mentioned, I graduated by God's grace and mercy. I was able to get through. I still have one more class. I actually have two. I'm almost done with philosophy, and then I have one more class. We'll end in July, ethics. So just a brief testimony. My study hall was the train from my house all the way to Hong Kong Island, where I work in an international church now doing Sunday school ministry. And I study on the bus, on the train, back and forth. I have those Kindle books, and I the last two semesters, because my laptop like broke, I typed my papers on this thing, just tapping away on the screen. Like, this is the only thing I could do. I wasn't gonna I said, I'm not going to buy another laptop. This thing is just as powerful. I just got to deal with the, you know, my fingers typing away on the screen. And, you know, thank God for the teachers. They're very gracious and merciful. I mean, I'm not a grammar guru when it comes to, you know, writing papers and stuff. I dropped out of high school, you know. I went to San Diego High. I dropped out in the 11th grade because I just couldn't pass. I kept failing, you know. They held me back because I got hit by the car, and I missed summer school, so I got held back. And then I was just, because I was all messed up, I just kept failing. And I was like the big kid in school, finally. And all my friends had gone on and moved on, graduated, put in prison, strung out on drugs, whatever. And I was like, oh, I can't. Look at me. I'm the big guy, the really big guy. And I just walked out that day. I left San Diego High School, and I did my thing for a while. And then after that, I met Jesus. Yeah, I met Jesus in a party with a lot of beer and drugs. Somebody there was a backslidden Christian, and they ended up getting right with the Lord. And then we were friends, and they started inviting me to church, and they gave me a Bible. And I started going to church. And then I think when I started reading the Bible, God started working in my heart. And I was trying to get clean off of the drugs. And then what happened was I used the drugs, and then I got so paranoid. I stayed in my house for the whole day. I smoked marijuana. I never got paranoid smoking marijuana. And I was so paranoid that day that I was like, wow, I'm finished with this. I don't like this feeling, you know. All my friends are gone. I had nobody to hang out with anymore. They're in prison or whatever. They're doing crazy stuff and beyond my realm of criminal activity. So I said, that's it, Lord. I'm done. I'm ready. And that day, I stopped using. I stopped using the drugs. 3 days later, I came here and knocked on the door of the church. A lot of you heard my testimony, and that day was a Monday, and I had the day wrong. They have church on Sunday, and but what happened was when I was knocking on the door, the guy that was leading Most Excellent Way was walked passing me, and he said, "Hey, I'm on the way to that meeting you're looking for," and there is where I just saw some familiar faces from my family. My family is from Golden Hills, and some of the people running the meeting knew me and knew my mom and my dad, and they said, "Hey, Byron, you made it. Where's your bike?" And I said, "It's all smashed up right now, but I'll get a new one." So yeah, and just from Caring Ministries to this place, I continue to feel the love of Christ, and I've really grown, you know, here, and it's just amazing what God has done. And as all of you probably know, I live in Hong Kong. I've been there 11 years now. Originally, I went there to take Bibles and did that for 7 to 8 years. And then I believe when I became a father, I just developed, that's my heart. I developed a heart for, I can't do that. So I developed a heart for kids and for families and for the fathers. And And there came a point with taking Bibles that I was just like, I just felt like I did my tour of duty, you know. And so I just started praying. I prayed for like 3 years, and then God finally opened this door. And I'd been praying that church would speak to me about joining Sunday school ministry there. But what had happened was God did speak to them, but it took me to send them a message. And then when I sent them the message, they said, "Yeah, we've been wanting to talk to you about this, but we didn't want to bother you and your mission and what you're doing there." And it was strange because I'd been praying, "God, can you speak to them?" And it just took me to kind of knock on the door and send a message and say, "Hey, God has been speaking to me." And they said, "Come on." I just went. And so I'm the biggest secretary in the office. I'm the Sunday school administrator, and by trade, I'm a mechanic. You know, I'm not really secretarial. I'm not really It's not my number one gift, administration, but it's something God has called me to do, and it's challenging, and I like challenges. So that's why I have chosen, you know, that's one reason why I'm doing it, because I think when we're challenged and we grow. And when I drink water, my mouth isn't so dry. So, and I need more. I've been up since 4 this morning because of the time difference. But the flight was really good. 12 hours, 34 minutes. And I had the seat that had a lot of leg room. Yeah, only one person next to me. And I didn't have to keep saying, excuse me, and like my backside in his face and all that. So praise the Lord. And so as you know, I live in Hong Kong, and I just, the last few times I shared, I didn't really give you guys a chance to know what Hong Kong is and who Hong Kong is. And Hong Kong is a very developed place, and currently it's Asia's world city, and 43% of the population practice some sort of religion. So I have some statistics here and some data, so hopefully you won't fall asleep, but it's interesting. Two of the most are Buddhism and Taoism. And there's 1.5 million Buddhists and Taoists in Hong Kong, 480,000 Protestants, 363,000 Roman Catholics, 20,000 members of, I call them my friends, the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. I call them my friends because I enjoy talking to them about the real Jesus. And I think we need to talk to them. So when they approach me, I talk to them. Sometimes I pray, lay hands on them, and I pray for them. If they let me, I ask first. Sometimes I don't ask. Sometimes I say, you just need some prayer. And I start praying for them. They say, hey, let's get out of here. One time I was praying for this guy. I was praying for him, really, honestly, in Hong Kong, praying for him. I'm praying for him, and then the other guy here, do you really think that's the power of God? And then another guy said, hey, let's get out of here. So they all just kind of ran. I was like, whatever, you're out of here, not handing out your tract. So, yeah, that's why they're my friends. There's 220,000 Muslims, 40,000 Hindus, and 5,000 to 6,000 Jews. And then there's the group called the Falun Gong, which is a self-described spiritual discipline kind of group. So Hong Kong has four main areas. I live in the New Territories. So there's the New Territories, Hong Kong Island, Kowloon, which is a peninsula. And then the New Territories is near China. That's like the way to go to China, one of the ways. Now there's many ways. There's ferries and other ways to China. The New Territories is one of them, and that's where they take Bibles through, because there's a land border you can walk across, like walking over to Tijuana from San Ysidro. So 7 million people, 7,112,688 people. And it's 6 times larger than Washington, D.C. So that is, let's see, that is
big.
Actually, it's small. It's small for 7 million people. Very dense, very, very packed, yeah. So Hong Kong used to be the place for textiles and plastic making, if you remember the label saying made in Hong Kong. Well, now it's become like the office for China and for the rest of the world. So a lot of things are made in China now, and Vietnam and Cambodia. And as I mentioned, a lot of people go there just to make business. So that's where I live. But I live in the, as I mentioned, I live in the New Territories. They consider that the countryside. So it's an interesting place to live in. And as I mentioned, it's very packed. Everybody pretty much uses the public transportation system. If you have a car in Hong Kong, it means you're a little bit wealthy. So I had a car, and I didn't consider myself wealthy at the time, so I got rid of it. And I got a bike. It has brakes, but they don't work. It's so humid there, it gets rusty really quick. Everything gets rusty. And then, too, like, if something breaks on the bike, it's cheaper to get a new one. Yeah, they charge a lot of money. So I live in this village. It's called Lung Yuk Tao. And interesting thing about this village, it has a, in 1903, they call it the Hakka group. It's a group of Chinese. Like, they have the Han Chinese, the Hakka Chinese. And so the Hakka Chinese, like a missionary, a clergyman, he went to that village, and he set up a mission. And it's still there today, and they have the old mission house, and they have a more modern building. So it's really interesting. And there's a lot of Christians in my village, some second and third generation Christians. Even the people that own my house are Christians. The grandma is a Christian. So it's very, when we moved in there, she asked if that we don't burn incense or make sacrifices to the idols. And I said, me? I'm not Chinese. And I told her I was a Christian, and she was so happy that I was a Christian. And she brings us, like, food and fruit and gifts for Phoebe. So we're blessed. She hasn't raised our rent in the last 8 years. She's raised it about $100 U.S. So normally they raise it anywhere from $200 to $300 every couple of years. So sometimes they double it, yeah. With the opening of China and the mainland Chinese people coming over into Hong Kong, people are able to make more money, you know, off of the rents and stuff. So they know the mainland Chinese people have the money to spend for that. So let's get to my message. Dan, I won't play the video. We can show the picture. The picture of Hong Kong, the map. Yeah, you can see. Yeah, does that work? You can tell I'm professional. So. Yeah. Oh yeah, this is it. So I live. It says Shangshui. I live up there, and then beyond that is China. And then these are all the. This is Lantau Island, where the airport is, and Hong Kong Island. Then there's another 234 islands, smaller islands. And then is there a picture of the church, the mission thing? Is a picture up there? Yeah, that's the mission, the old mission house, and then the more modern one. Yeah.
I like the old one better.
Yeah, I think they mentioned because it was growing, they needed a bigger building, and then they opened up a kindergarten on the bottom floor and also the Sunday school, so that's why they built a bigger building. I'll show you the video at the end.
Is it Ni Hao?
Ni Hao?
Is that how you say hello?
Yeah, that's Mandarin. That's how you say hello in Mandarin, Ni Hao. In Hong Kong, they say Lei Ho. Some people, well, if you're going to the mainland, then obviously it's going to be Mandarin. If you come to Hong Kong, though, some people, they do speak Mandarin in Hong Kong, but right now there's tension between the Hong Kong and the mainland people. So even if the Hong Kong people do speak Mandarin, they will speak to you in Cantonese or English. They won't use Mandarin because they want to have the right to vote in Hong Kong. And right now, just Beijing puts their guy. And they have some kind of electoral system, but it's pretty much Beijing puts their man in there. So that's how that's done. Any other questions? Concerns? I'm glad I can just be myself up here. What time am I supposed to stop?
2 more minutes.
2? Oh, well, shoot. Amen. Okay, great. So that means I can just run right through this. So, oh my goodness. Anyways, it doesn't matter. I've taken a message that God used to get me to Hong Kong, and it's out of Luke chapter 12, and it's verses 13 to 34. And while I was doing this, I had a hard time saying, oh, I'm going to do the sermon, or I'm going to be preaching, or I'm going to be teaching, or I have a message. So I need to get used to that. This is my third time taking a whole service. In Hong Kong, I did a Sri Lankan service, which are like the people from India, and a Filipino service. And since I'm married to a Filipino, it went over really good. So, because I can just make a connection with him. And when I tell all these things that happens between me and my wife, like cultural things, they just crack up laughing. They love it. And then they say, "Well, pray for your wife." I say, "Pray for my wife." They say, "Why?" "Because she's married to me." I'm not easy to live with. So, I've wrote that, you know, as we read the Word of God, it has multiple points and purposes. I mean, you can maybe have a message out of a certain portion of the Bible, but as you continue to read it, it just goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And with a mind like mine, it wanders a lot, and I start seeing all this other stuff, and it's hard for me to keep track. So if I lose you guys, just like, you know, take a nap or something. So Luke chapter 12, verses 13. First, we're going to do 13 to 21. As soon as I get my notes turned right side up. And I put a little, most Bibles have a title. You know, my Bible said, "You Rich Fool." And then I thought, "What's up, fool?" Most of my friends that I hung out with were from Sherman Heights. So, I mean, I did that thing for a while. "What's up, fool?" "What's up?" In mainland China, the word for that is, I forgot. Oh, never mind. So, anyways, verses 13 to 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And those things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God.'" And it would be really interesting if it just stopped there. If the story stopped there, that was the end of the Bible, there was no more after that, we would think, well, what am I supposed to do now? I mean, how am I supposed to live my life? Where am I supposed to put my treasure? Where am I supposed to put my faith? And during the next, what do we got, 23 minutes, I would just propose that, you know, where is your treasure and where is your faith? Because when you look at this, you start to think, you know, where is my treasure and where is my faith? Are you standing on God's foundation or on your own foundation? But thanks to God, the story doesn't end there. And Jesus continues with more, I don't know what to call it, a parable, a story, insight, understanding, instructions, directions. He gives us purpose, following from verse 22 to 34. And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap, they neither storehouse nor barn. Oh, they have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Oh, how much more value are you than the birds, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest?" Excuse me. So I like how, you know, God just kind of, or Jesus helps us to pause and take a look at the simple things in life, like the creation, the birds and the plants and the leaves. And it's interesting to look at those things because they're taken care of. And as it's mentioned here, they don't worry. They're not anxious. They don't have to worry about clothing themselves. The birds are already fed. And Jesus just kind of brings the importance of how we should be relying on him and trusting in him. And he is telling us to not worry and to not to be anxious. And following from verse 27 to 29, it says, "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil or spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith?" And I've always thought that this is a very bold statement to give. You know, especially for me or for yourself. I mean, I'm sure we all worry. I'm sure we all have experienced anxiety about life, about how we're going to take care of ourselves, our family, our friends, how we're going to put gas in the car and pay the rent. But God is telling us that our focus should be somewhere else. God is telling us that the trees are taken care of, the birds are fed. Why are you worrying? You are more important than they are. And a lot of people say that the birds mentioned in this scripture is the raven, which is one of the lowliest birds, and even God is taking care of them. And God creating us loves us a whole lot more than he does the birds, that he's taking care of us. So God used these verses to get me out of my so-called comfort zone when I was here in San Diego. And I just felt like, what do I have to lose? With verses like this, how am I not going to say that God's going to take care of me? So what I did was I got rid of my things. I began to prepare and build the support team. And I just said, I'm going to go and serve the Lord. I have nothing to lose. With a verse like this, he's going to take care of me. Yeah, amen. It's okay, you can get a little charismatic, Pentecostal. My whole sidetrack here, my whole experience in Hong Kong has been with the charismatic and the Pentecostal people. Even the Anglican church is charismatic. Even the Catholic church is charismatic. So, because my first church was an Anglican church, and I went in there, and the pastor's there with a tambourine, and they got the dancers going with the flags, and they're speaking in tongues and praying for people to be healed. And I'm like, wow, this is Anglican? But then they get the cup out for communion. It's just one cup, and it's filled with wine. And I'm thinking, oh, that's why they're excited. It's the communion. Really, it was. They're celebrating what Jesus did on the cross. Yeah, that's what they do. They drink it all. So, yeah, that's been my experience. And it's been a good experience. I've learned a lot from them. I used to tease them and make fun of them. And I think God has taught me a lesson by allowing me to be part of those kinds of churches. Even the people that sponsored my work permit in Hong Kong were from a charismatic denomination. And my first day there, my eyeballs just kind of popped out of my head, you know, I was like, and then the pastor after said, I saw you, you were scared. I thought that's why you had me sit in the front so I wouldn't run away. So, but it's been good. I've never met a man that had more reverence for the word of God and for pastoring people my whole life. He loves people and he loves the Bible and he loves Jesus. So those are important to me. And it's impacted my life. Pastor Dale has, yeah. That's the guy's name. So, where did we stop? Verse 27. Yeah, verse 27. 28. But if God so clothes the grass which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek the kingdom, and these things will be added unto you. So when I stop reading there, I think, now what am I supposed to do? Now I know I'm supposed to trust God. I'm supposed to be looking for Him and not worrying and not being anxious. So what am I supposed to be doing now? What are we supposed to be doing now? We're supposed to be seeking, occupy.
Seek the lost, serve the Lord.
Right. And when you said occupy in Hong Kong, the demonstration is called Occupy Central. And they've been camping out in the middle of the street in front of the Chinese government building because they want to have the right to vote. But as Christians, we're supposed to occupy. We're supposed to be seeking His kingdom. And when we're seeking His kingdom, then we won't have to worry about these worldly things. And verse 32 says, "Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell all your possessions and give them to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches or moth destroys." And as I mentioned already, these are the very verses that just grabbed a hold of my heart and pushed me into that place of just being about His business, being about the kingdom's, God's kingdom's business, and just working for the Lord and doing those things that He's called me to do. And at that point in my life, I just thought it was time for me to really give my life up to the Lord. And you may be thinking that too. You may be in a place where it's really time for me to surrender my life to the Lord. You know, seek His kingdom. Seek Him. Don't be worried about the things of the world. And build His kingdom and not your own. And it's always been a kind of thing in my heart and in my mind that I'm building God's kingdom and not my own. And that may cause you to think and also causes myself to think, that where is my faith and where is my treasure? Because in verse 34 it says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Oh, I have to burp. I was going to go over here to try to hide it. Oh gosh, I'm not good at this. I killed the moment, I know. Some of you are ready to run up forward and like surrender your life to Christ, and then I gave a burp. I think my wife is listening to this right now. So she probably turned it off. She probably said, oh my gosh. So, yeah, where is your faith? Where is your treasure? You can ask yourself these questions, you know. Contemplate, yeah, where am I at? Where is my heart? Where am I storing my treasures? You know, is it in Bank of America? HSBC, I have HSBC, Hong Kong Shanghai Banking Corporation. Where is your treasure? What time do we end? 11. I know you told me already. So, while I was preparing for this message, I had listened to Pastor Steve's message. You know, you're able to, you know, hear it on the internet now, since we're so advanced. You can even download it. Wow, that's big time for North Park. Remember the tapes? We bypassed the CD, right? Or did you guys do CDs? No. They did CDs. How about 8-track? No. Handwritten scripts? No. So I was listening to Pastor Steve's message before this, because I just felt like I want to understand what you guys are hearing. You know, I want to know where what he is teaching you and what God is doing here. And I also listened to Bobby's message too, and he said praise God a lot. Praise God. Amen. And but it was good because Pastor Steve preached or taught from Acts chapter 9, and he talked about Paul's life, and these are just some of the things that I got out of it, and I'm going to try to tie it into my message today. So Paul's life spoke the gospel. Paul was bold, purposed, and he persevered. Paul had a strong conviction and a strong witness. Paul served the Lord. Paul picked a pack of pickled peppers. Oh, Peter. Sorry. That was Peter. See, I can't even get the disciples right. That's what the BA got me. Got me that. Now my brain's all messed up. Paul was excited, and he seized the opportunity to share the gospel. I think that's Pastor Steve's heart, and also the heart of North Park, is to win the lost, to win those people out at the swap meet and at the bars around here. It's a great opportunity right now. He sees those opportunities to share the gospel. What? Oh, sorry. Skipped a page. I believe Paul knew where his faith was, and he knew where his treasure was. He understood where his heart should be. And so should we as believers in Christ. We should follow Paul, as he mentions in most of his letters, follow me as I follow Christ. Follow Pastor Steve as he follows Christ. Follow those around you as they follow Christ. Be those examples. Be people that are purposed and persevere and seize the opportunity to share the gospel. Seek his kingdom and not yours. Be about his work and not your work. Build his kingdom and not your kingdom. In the last week message, I heard that growing is important. And as I mentioned before this, not growing this way. I can tell when people are married and happy. People see me, I don't have a ring because it broke. Because I became married and happy, and it just, the ring broke. I tried to get it fixed, but they wouldn't fix it. Never mind. Business in China is different than in America. So, growing is important. That means that we're to be stretched, and growing is not easy. Growing, when we grow, there's pains. And just because something is growing doesn't necessarily mean there's happy times, as I mentioned. When you grow, you're challenged. When I went through school, my brain was challenged beyond its fullest capacity. And early mornings and late nights writing papers, and as I mentioned, it was hard. But it's brought about some growth in my life. So we are to through that message, I was encouraged to be a person of faith. And through today's message, I believe that we are encouraged to be people of faith. People that are questioning, where is our treasure? Where is our heart? And where are we building our kingdom? Is it down here or is it in heaven? Is your heart in the things of the world or is it in heaven? So where is your faith? Are you worried about your life? Where is your treasure? Are you busy chasing the things of the world? Where is your heart? Is your heart captivated by the world and its goods? The newest phone? The latest computer? I mention these things because that's one of my kind of struggles. I just love technology. And my wife has mentioned it to me many times that I'm not into those computer things, Byron. Why are you? But I'm growing and I'm learning. They're not important. It's God's word is important. In fact, I'm using my tablet to read the Bible, but just in case a thing like or somebody calls me and I don't know how to shut it off. I'm waiting for my wife to give me a call or something. But so, in closing, 5 minutes. And these are just some questions you can take in on a personal level. And also I've taken them in on my own level. Where are you now? If you have found yourself questioning, where am I right now? If you're questioning yourself, where am I? Where is my faith? Where is my heart? Am I building my kingdom or God's kingdom? This is for the believer. And if you have, maybe you've been serving him. Maybe you had served him in the past. Maybe you were about his business, but something happened. You became busy with the things of the world. And you got off course. I would just encourage you to get back. Get back on course. Get back to knowing him and what he wants from you. Get back to serving him in his kingdom. And maybe you're new here. Maybe you just don't even understand what this guy is talking about up here. But I can say one thing, that Christ is good. And if you can take a person like me and rearrange me for good things and for God's kingdom and bless me and take care of me, then he's good for you. Amen. And you can consider a life with Christ. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are in our lives. And if you're that person that has been serving God and just maybe got off track and you want to get back to serving him, being about his business, ushering in the church, helping out with the deacons, and you need prayer, you can raise your hand. If you're that person that just never confessed Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never really had a relationship with him, then you can raise your hand and we can pray for you. So, Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. And we just ask a blessing on today's fellowship time downstairs. I thank you for North Park Christian Fellowship. You would continue to bless them and cause them to grow in you and just to reach out not only to this neighborhood, but just beyond the boundaries of this neighborhood, Father. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
When do you head back?
On Thursday.
Thursday. He's going to be heading back to Hong Kong Thursday. So let's pray for him. Let's ask the Lord that he would open doors that no man can close out there, and God would use him tremendously out there. So, Father God, we do thank you for Byron, and thank you for his hunger, his thirst for righteousness, Lord, for your word. And we pray right now, Lord, that wisdom and understanding that he put in in his life, Father, day and night studying, that, Lord, you would use that and take him further in his reaching out to the people in Hong Kong and China, and that, Lord God, you would direct him and lead him in his working there at the church, Father God. And so bless him, bless his wife, his daughter, and bless the works of his hands, and give him safe travel mercies back to Hong Kong when he leaves on Thursday. So we just thank you, Father God, that you just use willing hearts, willing vessels, people who want to be used by you, Father God. You take those who are that are not qualified, and you qualify them. And we thank you for that. So bless him, anoint him, and we are privileged to be part of that work that you're doing in China. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't we stand and let's worship the Lord and then go downstairs. And there's, believe it or not, I saw some Chinese food down there. And other food. So let's worship.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from
great week and fun time of fellowship.